not know, change is not always comfortable. Change is not always easy. And, excuse me while I get some water here. And change, if you remember from last week, I talked to you about it. A lot of people, when it comes to change, are apprehensive to change. It's not something that we want to embrace. But you know that change in this life, you can be guaranteed of this, is something that will happen in your life. You can be guaranteed that you will face change in this life. And also know this, change isn't always a bad thing. There are some of us in here today that could actually use change. And this morning, I want to just start out by telling you this message is not for perfect people. If this morning you're sitting in here and you would say, Pastor Todd, I've lived a perfect life. I've never made any mistakes. I have no regrets. I've never done anything wrong. I've never been hurt by anybody, and I've never hurt anyone. Then, if that's you, today's message is not for you. If that's you, you're excused right now, and you can go ahead and go home. But, however, if you've lived a life that you would say is actually less than perfect, then today's message in this series is for you. With that in mind, I want to begin with the end in mind. I would say that most people sitting here in a church on a Sunday morning would say, if they were asked, that they have a goal in life to get to heaven, to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, and to take as many people with them as they can. The Apostle Paul had this same goal and lived a life with that goal in mind. Listen to what he tells us in 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul finished his life strong, and he expected that other believers would do the same. That's why through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives us this instruction in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Where he says, do you not know that in race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. My question to you this morning is, how are you doing? Will you finish strong? Are you running the race to win, or are you even in the race at all? Will you one day say, like Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Will that be said of you? This morning, I want to help you answer that question by telling you the way you finish depends upon where you are right now. It's not about where you were yesterday. It's not about what your past was. It doesn't matter what your past may hold. It doesn't matter about issues you may have in your past. How you finished is determined by where you are right now. Some of you think that your future and how you finish is tied to sins of the past. Some of you think that how you finish is somehow tied to your mistakes from yesterday. Church, do not let your past determine your future. Your future does not have to be chained to your past. Your future is determined by what you do now, moving forward. Please understand this. All people in this life have faced pain. All people in this life have sinned. All people have struggled against sin. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But church, hear me on this. You do not have to be ruled by that past. Some of you here this morning get that. You understand. You understand that when you come to Christ, you are not who you used to be. You understand that you're a new creation, that He makes all things new. But also know this, Not everybody gets that. Not everybody that we come in contact with understands that. I'm even sure that there are people here today who don't get that. I'm sure there are people in this room today that are in bondage right now. For some of you, it may be bondage to the hurts that others have caused in your life. For some, it might be a direct result of past mistakes. And for some, it may even be that you're chained to current sin in your life right now. Church, for some of you, today is that day. It's a time for change. You need to understand there can be change ahead. I know there are some sitting here today that are absolutely overwhelmed. Some of you are overwhelmed by that bondage that sin brings. Some of you are weighed down by past hurts, divorce, regret, loss, finances, addictions, depression, worry, and anxiety, just to name a few. You're in this bondage and you're feeling the incredible weight that it brings. And I need you to understand, there is freedom available for you here today. You no longer have to remain in these chains of your past. My Bible tells me that those that the Son sets free are free indeed. He brings liberty and freedom. Church, you need to understand that there is no freedom found in the things of this world. Freedom can't be found in some food that brings you comfort. Freedom is not found in your 401k. You could wake up tomorrow and it all be gone. Freedom cannot be found in a career that leads you up this ladder to the top. Freedom cannot be found in losing yourself in front of a television. There will become a point in time you're going to have to turn it off. Freedom is not found in drugs. Freedom is not found in things of this world. Church, freedom can only be found in knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do not fall into the trappings of looking at the temporary. Many times we look at things and see, oh, I see some temporary relief right there. And I'm going to try that. I'm going to look to that. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for the trappings of the temporary when we have the one who is the everlasting. We have the one who is enduring. We have the one who is abiding. We have the one that is never changing, steadfast, and perfect. And there is freedom in knowing Him. There is freedom in loving Him. He loved us and He cared for us when we were not lovable. Romans tells us that God demonstrated His love for us while we were still sinners. Church, if you want to be free from the bondage of sin, if you want to be free from past hurts, if you want to be free from the addictions, then you have to stop living with one foot in the kingdom of the world and one foot in the kingdom of heaven. It cannot be done. You can't live looking this way and that way. You've got to remain steadfast. You've got to put your face upon Him. You've got to start living for the eternal and stop living for the temporal. It's time for a change. Church, you need to understand, we are aliens in this world. We are simply passing through. And so many times, though, we look to the things of this world like it's our eternal home. We look to the things in this world that can bring us momentary bits of peace and momentary gladness and momentary joy and look at it as if it's everlasting. But you need to understand the things of this world will rust, will destroy, will pass away. They are temporary. It's time we begin looking to the eternal. Stop looking to things of this land and start looking to heavenly things. This morning I want to talk to you just a few minutes about another group of people. This is a group of people that were also in a land that was not their own. They were in a bondage that could not be broke. Church, if you've been in church very long at all, you're familiar with the story. If you've got your Bibles, if you'll turn to, with me to Exodus chapter 1. As you're turning there, I want to just share a little background information. The Israelites were in this land that was not their own. They had come to Egypt some 400 years before this story takes place. They left the promised land to go to a place that seemed good at the time. How many times do we do the exact same thing? They had come for short-term relief, and it wasn't long before the short-term relief turned into generations. The same thing happens to people today. You see something that might look like it'll bring temporary relief in your life, and before you know it, temporary relief has turned into nothing more than bondage holding you down. It becomes an obstacle to what God truly wants to do in your life. The Israelites had gone down into a land that all seemed good until a king came along that did not remember Joseph and what he had done. If you're there in Exodus 1, we'll pick up in verse number 6. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to the people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they put Pithom and Ramesses as the store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked ruthlessly. The Israelites faced terrible oppression. They were once a free people, now being enslaved to the Egyptians. In chapter 2 of Exodus, we read that Moses was born into this incredible time of turmoil. Pharaoh was having all the young Hebrew children killed, all the young boys killed at that time. Moses' mother, you know the story, in order to protect him, put him in that little reed boat and set him down into the river. And he was pulled from the river. He was drawn out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter. In fact, the name Moses in the Hebrew even sounds like the word Hebrew word for drawn out. And you'll know that as we go through this story, it was more than just drawn out of the river. So Moses was raised in the palace as a prince until one day he saw the taskmaster beating a fellow Hebrew, and he killed the Egyptian. At this point, his life would forever change. He went from a life of royalty to one of obscurity as a shepherd. Moses fled to the land of Midian, which we believe to be somewhere in the area of the Sudan. He remained there for 40 years. God was preparing Moses in the land of Midian. Then in Exodus 3, Moses encounters the burning bush. The Bible says as Moses turned to see that God spoke to him out of that bush. If you're still there in Exodus, flip over to chapter 3, and we're going to read what God says to Moses there in 3:7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of Egyptians, and to bring them up and out of the land into good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me. and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Church, you need to understand that God has not changed. The Word of God tells us He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God would speak to Moses some thousands of years ago, guess what? He has not changed, and He will speak to you today. Jesus Himself tells us that my sheep know my voice. What do you have to do? You have to look for Him. We're told in James 4:8, we're reminded, if we come near to God, He will come near to you. But also know this, we always read that part of the verse, and many times we leave this next part out. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Church, we cannot continue living one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We cannot be like that reed in the wind that goes back and forth whichever way the wind blows. You cannot continue to sway from one thought to another. The question is, have you set your face upon Him? Are you listening for His voice? Are you steadfast? Church, if you're seeking Him out, He is there. If you look for Him, He will show up. If you seek His face, you may not see His face, but you will hear His voice. He'll speak to you, and He will call you out of that bondage that you are in. He will call you out of those chains that hold you down. Some of you sitting in here today are feeling oppressed. You're feeling overwhelmed, and I need you to know, just like the Israelites, God sees your pain. He cares for you. He sees your suffering. Much like He sent Moses to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, He sent one even greater to deliver you out of the bondage that you're in. Church, I need you to understand, God is calling you out of the bondage of sin. He's calling you out from your past regrets. He's calling you out from past mistakes. He's calling you out from hurts from the past. If you're depressed, church, He's calling you out. If you're down in the dumps, He's calling you out. If you're in sickness, He's calling you out. He sees where you are, just as He saw the Israelites, and He's calling you out. No matter what trouble you face in this life, God is calling you out. He is there for you, no matter what situation. Church, you may be in the situation you're in right now because of your own past mistakes. You may be in the situation you're in right now because of one poor decision after another. But you need to understand, He's still calling you out. We serve a God that picks us up when we're down. He doesn't kick us when we're down. That's the way the world works. That's not the way our God works. He sees you when you're down and He lifts you up. He said, go down and take them out. He's calling us out. He's calling us up. He's calling us to something greater. It does not matter if you are the cause of the situation. Because remember, yet when we were sinners, God loved us. He sent His Son to die for us. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 57:18. I have seen what they do, but I will heal them anyway. He knows what you do. He knows how we mess up. He's seen what we have done, but He says, I have seen what they do, but I will heal them anyway. I will lead them. I will comfort those who mourn, bringing words of praise to their lips. May they have abundant peace, both far and near, says the Lord who heals them. You may have caused the situation you're in, but His grace and mercy are so incredible, his love for you is so big that it doesn't matter how you got into the place you're in, he's calling you out. What a great promise Isaiah gives us. Church, this morning, you need to understand if you've been hurt. Notice what it says there in Isaiah. It says, I will heal you. If you've been in a place of not knowing where to go and it seems every decision you make leads to a place that it was worse off than the last place you were, then set your face upon him. Listen for his voice because he says, I want to lead you. If you've ever felt you were helpless and you couldn't change anything, he says to you this morning, there is change ahead. If you've ever felt overwhelmed like you were doing it all alone, he's saying to you, I am there. I am there to comfort you and I will lead you. If you're living in fear, always anxious and worried, he's saying to you, I have peace for you today. But you, church, you have to accept it. You see, if we continue on down in Isaiah verse 20, we read this. But those who still reject me are like the restless sea, which is never still, but continually churns up mud and dirt. There is no peace for the wicked, says my God. Church, the world we live in is messed up. It's upside down. We're hurt by other people. We hurt ourselves, and we hurt other people. It's messed up. Romans tells us all have sinned. All of us have made mistakes. And all of us not only hurt, but we've also hurt others. Some of us have been living far too long in the bondage of hurt. This morning, God is saying to you, come out. Come out. This morning, God is saying, I've got a better place for you. Come out of that bondage you're in. He's calling you out of sickness. He's calling you out of depression. He's calling you out of addictions. He's calling you out of that self-pity attitude. He's calling you out of the debt that's burying you. He's calling you out of the sin that you've been weighed down in far too long. Don't reject him. Don't continue living a life of like that restless sea, continually churned up. Don't reject his peace. Church, he has peace for you. Church, turn to him this morning. Get to know him. Answer his calling. Moses was sent to deliver God's people from the hand of the Egyptians. And before they came out of Egypt, things got worse. Things got darker. We read in chapter 5 of Exodus of how the Egyptians, when they heard that God was calling them out, made it even harder on them than before. They gave them no more straw, but still expected them to make bricks. Church, have you ever been in a place like that where it just seems like things are getting worse and worse and worse? If that's you this morning, know that God is calling you out. If you find yourself in a dark, oppressed place, know that God is calling you out of that place. Pharaoh came down hard on the Egyptians. Listen to what he says. He said, load them down with more work. Make them sweat. That will teach them to listen to lies. Church, for some of you this morning, Satan is telling you the same thing. He's saying, don't listen to it. Don't listen to the lies of God. Don't believe that he has freedom for you. He wants you in a place of bondage. He wants to tell you that what God has for you is a lie. But listen to me, church. God promised the people of Israel deliverance, and he brought it with his strong, outstretched arm. In Exodus 6:6, this is what he says, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgment. Pharaoh asked, who is this Lord? And God showed him who he was. He showed him with plague after plague, including the tenth and final one, in which every firstborn male throughout the land of Egypt who didn't have the covering of the blood of the lamb was slain. Just as he caused the death angel to pass over the homes of those Israelites who had the blood covering, he is doing the same for you today. You see, there was another deliverer that came along. Matthew 1:21 tells us, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This morning, church, Jesus is calling you out of that place of bondage. Jesus came down. He took on human flesh. He came down to a lowly place to let you know that no matter where you are, no matter how far you feel you've fallen, no matter what trouble you may be in, no matter what hurt has been caused, he can reach you where you're at. Church, Satan wants you to stay right where you are. But God is saying to you, come out. Come out of those chains. Come out of that bondage. Just as God promised to deliver Israel out of Egypt and out of their bondage, God is promising you the same thing. He will deliver you from the chains that keep you bound. Those who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Church, if today you are in bondage, if you feeling chained to your past and the weight seems too much to bear, you need to know God hears the groan. God hears your cry. God sees your hurt. And he is saying, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. I am the God that heals. I am the God that comforts. I am the God that brings you peace. Church, stop trying to work your way into his favor. Stop trying to earn his peace. Stop trying to strike deals with him. Oh, if you forgive me this time, I'll never do it again. Oh, if you only come through for me here, I promise I'll come to church every Sunday. Oh, if you only do this, then I'll do that. Stop trying to make deals. Stop trying to make deals. He says, I give it to you freely. What does he require? He requires that you believe on him and in him. If you do, he will forgive you. He will help you. He will guide you. And he will bring peace to you. He will bring joy to you. And he will bring you out of the bondage that you're in. He's ready to meet with us. Today, church, there can be change ahead for you. You're not tied to your past. He has freedom for you this morning. The question I have for you, will you accept it or reject it? Let's all stand in this place. Father, right now, in this place, I pray that your word has went forth and it has touched the hearts of the people all across this place right now, God. God, have your way in us. Let us know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can have freedom with you, God. Let your people know that your word is true. Let your people know that those that the Son sets free are free indeed. Let us be released from the bondage of our past. Let us not be stuck to those chains anymore. Let them be forever gone, God. Let us walk out of here today, never to pick up those chains again.